up happier than ever? No way. He doesn't get to win.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
The census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Gina! But I don't care, darling, because I love you.
Why do you eat people?
Not people. Brains. I can feel myself rot.
Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Wheel in.
Out with friends?
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother. Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I'm one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's it going, sir?
It's going well.
Excellent. And in the state of New York?
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, Phil. How are you?
Doing all right. And in the state of Massachusetts?
Hey, everyone, this is Abe.
Abe, how's it going?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. Very well. A couple of things here. First off, who we are, for those who are new listeners, we are a podcast that discusses critique. Generally genre films, so sci-fi, horror, fantasy thrillers, techno thrillers, midnight movies, and whatnot. Try to discuss intelligently about a genre that deserves intelligence. We do have a website, isn't that right, Eric?
Yes, that is right. You can find it at www.darkdiscussions.com. There's a few different things on this site. On the right side of the front page, you can find links to the Friends of the Podcast, so you can check all those out. There's an articles section. You'll find a link for it at the top of the page. You can go read articles written by myself as well as others. There's an audio section also at the top of the page. You can go find every single episode that we've released of this show as well as any of the spinoffs of this show available to download for free. You're bound to find something you like there. And then on the front page, front and center, is a link to our Patreon account. Patreon is a service that allows you to support your online artists. You can follow the link on the front page or go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. If you care to help us offset the cost of producing this show, we do have to pay for server fees and new equipment and such. So if you'd like to help us offset that, you can go there. And for every $5 a month that you care to donate, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly cover on the show. We take all the submissions given to us by our patrons and draw them on a random basis quarterly. So you could have a topic that you choose do an episode on the show. So, if you're interested in doing that, follow the link on the front page of darkdiscussions.com or go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions.
All right, yep. So you can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com, AOL.com, and then you can basically give us your opinions on any of our topics. Just talk about genre stuff in general. Let us know about things that are upcoming. Give us suggestions for what you want us to discuss. Or if you saw a film that you think is interesting that you wanted to give a mini review on, please do, and we will read it on the podcast. Also, we do have a Facebook group page called Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group where you can join approximately 800 of fellow members and discuss many things. For example, a lot of discussion now on 2020 and what's coming up. Things such as possible Willy Wonka reboot again, Birds of Prey and its release getting good reviews. The Oscars are being discussed. Various other things.
Sam Raimi being talked about directing Evil Doctor Strange.
Yep, that's right. Yep. So that was just posted. People talking there. Woman of Horror Month that's being discussed, and various other things, including the unfortunate situation for Charmed actress Sharon Doherty.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it sucks.
It really does. It really does. So a lot of great topics, as well as some sad topics that are being discussed there. But you can come and join the Facebook group page, where you can give your thoughts and opinions, or start your own conversation, and we will be happy to participate. So I think that's it. Except today's date is February 6, 2020. So we are here to record a new episode, as everyone knows. Any specifics anybody wanted to bring up that isn't house cleaning that would be curious before we do get into our topic tonight? Anybody? Anything? All right, I guess not. So I guess with that, we'll do house cleaning after. And Eric, why don't you let everybody know what we're going to discuss tonight?
All right, tonight we're going to be discussing a movie that is listed on IMDb as 2019, but I think it just became available in the U.S. in 2020. Called, it really doesn't star, the only person that stars that you might know of is Laura Frazier, who played Lydia in Breaking Bad. The movie's called Dark Encounter.
Firstly, I'd like to thank you all for coming here today. Well, as you are aware, it's a year to the day that Maisie went missing.
I searched for days. I didn't sleep. I didn't stop. I couldn't.
I ain't never making peace with it. Mom? The stars are moving.
What's in the sky? Fast. Not ballistic.
Morgan's missing, right?
No, he's not missing. He's probably lost in the woods somewhere.
I'm calling.
He's making his way back home right now, okay?
Morgan!
I don't know what I saw. Something's happening. Something unnatural.
Get him!
Something evil.
That's right, Dark Encounter. It appears that it was originally named Transience, or it used to have that as a subtitle. But most places where you find it, it's called Dark Encounter with no S. Film, as Eric mentioned, stars Laura Frazier from Breaking Bad, among a large ensemble cast, but I'm not familiar with most of the folks. It's actually an English film. But they pretend that it's in Pennsylvania, about 30 miles west of Philadelphia in the rural heartland. But it was actually filmed in the UK, and all the actors are United Kingdom actors, and they've faked their accents, which are really pretty damn good. You would not know this. The director and the writer is the same person. His name is Kyle Strathy. He actually did one other, I think, full-length picture called Solace from 2018, a sci-fi adventure action film that actually got a lot of play on VOD services, rental services. I saw it there for months back, a year and a half ago, but I never bothered renting it. But it appears that it got a fairly decent reviews. And this is his, I guess, sophomore effort. Another science fiction film, but I'm not sure if Erica, if you know if it was labeled as something else besides sci-fi. I think it was also labeled as horror by IMDb, but
yeah, horror sci-fi.
Gotcha. So that's all I have from it. It does have fairly decent reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Not many reviews, you know, like 10 or whatever, but about 67%. So I guess we can go around and how we heard about this film and what we thought about it. So, Mike, let's start with you.
Yeah, I had never heard of it before. You recommended it when we said, what do we want to watch? And you went on your, the Greys! So, here we are, talking about the Greys. I got to be honest, I wasn't thrilled with the film. It's not really horrible. It's a lot of stuff we've kind of seen before with alien abduction films, some imagery lifted straight from other alien abduction films, and I don't know if it's because they are lacking in originality or if they were just homages, but it was okay. And then it does a thing at the end that's a twist that it just didn't work for me. So, I mean, look, it has a dead child in it, so yay. but other than that, you know, it's not horrible. It's not bad. And, you know, it's just, you know, and to be perfectly honest, I'm suffering a bit of a head cold, and I was watching this last night, and cold medicine's making it hard to stay awake, so maybe that's partly my fault. It just didn't really quite click for me. It's just a meh kind of film.
All right, very well. Abe?
So I heard about it because this is what we just decided last week to see and discuss.
Me too.
I know. Isn't that coincidence? Told you, my God. So I watched it today to keep it fresh after work. And I have to say, I liked the first part of the film. I was just kind of getting really into it. Almost like a home invasion with, you know, aliens and stuff like that. And then it completely goes in a different direction. And then I'm just kind of like, okay. And then I'm groaning by the end of the film. I'm just like, okay. And that's pretty much how it felt for me for this film. It was just like, and yeah, I definitely agree with Mike that there's a lot we've seen before in this film. Sometimes that can work really well if you do something with it. There's a little bit of a twist to it, or just something that makes it stand out. This film is not bad. It's just nothing that is absolute very new or very just mind-blowing or just all that great. It's just okay. You could honestly do a hell of a lot worse, but you could do so much better as well.
All right, sounds good. And Eric?
I also heard of it because Phil made us watch it, and I'm pretty much right there on the same page. I didn't think it was a horrible movie. I thought some of the visual effects were well done. The acting's not horrible. It's pretty good. But it does seem very familiar in a lot of places. And after we get past our spoiler flag, I had the twist that Mike engined toward the end. Has an implication on the story that I have huge problems with, but I'll get into that after spoilers. So overall, I thought it was okay. Probably won't watch it again.
All right, very good. For me, I was just going through iTunes or Apple TV or whatever they call it now, looking for 2020 films since we're already into the second month of the year, and looking for possible horror films to watch for 2020 that are 2020 films or technically released in 2020. And this one kind of caught my attention because it did have a decent review.
The Greys! The Greys!
But yeah. So a decent reviewed film that stars the Greys. And for people who don't know what the Greys are, that would be the alien monster that we've seen in Close Encounters and various other films. And those always interest me. That's my favorite movie monster. So I mentioned it to Eric, and then like almost a month ago, and then it kind of grew on Eric to say maybe do it as an episode, I think, because you brought it up again as a possible episode too. And
that recounting is inaccurate.
Well, you said to give Phil his gray fix.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me about it a month ago. That conversation happened last week.
Oh, was it? Oh, really? Okay. It seems like a month ago, but yeah, you're probably right. It was. This whole year has gone by so quick. I forgot. So that's how I heard about it. And I actually watched the trailer too, and it seemed pretty solid. But after watching the film, I'm kind of probably where everybody else is, actually. For alien films like we've done before, like Alien Abduction and Dark Skies and They Look Like People, I feel this was weaker than all of them as a scary film, because it's really more of a human drama that they just add the aliens in to do this interesting twist, I guess, at the end. So that kind of makes it more of a... I mean, I even said, yeah, my wife asked how it was, and I said, you actually probably would like it, and she doesn't like science fiction. But because of the type of story it was, it felt like a film that she could get into just for that.
Well, school administrator, I imagine she likes dead children, too.
Anyway, besides that point, Mike. I don't know if disappointed, but similar to everybody else, it was really not a true sci-fi or true horror film in the sense of it. Even though there is a lot of sci-fi stuff to it,
It is. There's aliens.
Exactly, that's true. But if you boil everything away, it's really just a story about a family and what happens.
That's kind of like saying Jaws is in a shark film, because it's about a family and what happens. I mean,
yeah, all right, that's
true. I mean, the aliens are there. You can't tell the story without the aliens.
That's true. So basically, I would say is that the acting is actually really good. The special effects are pretty solid. It's most likely a low budget film just for the fact that it's independent UK production. It was just okay for what I was hoping for, I should say. That's what I was going to say. It does crib a lot from other science fiction gray type films. So Close Encounters, Interstellar. Close Encounters, Interstellar. There's another one that it cribbed to. I can't remember, but because Abe, you're going to say something.
Yeah, it also gave it a bit of Stir of Echoes as well.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I'm saying more like...
Stir of Echoes is a much better film, just to be clear.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying in terms of the supernatural aiding in some kind of human situation.
I don't think Abe was trying to say it's better than Stir of Echoes, no more than I would say it was better than Close Encounters. But
I just had to think about the comparison for a second, because it didn't spring into my mind like it did for Abe.
Sure. So that's what we got. So a somewhat positive review, but not necessarily a film that was in any of our wheelhouses, it appears.
I think the consensus would be catch it on streaming if it shows up, but it's not really worth seeking out going out of your way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, so do we have our wiki, Eric?
Wiki. All right. 8-year-old Macy went missing in 1982, and a memorial is held a year later. That evening, strange lights, sounds, etc. are observed in the woods outside. Aliens.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. That's the first time I ever think we ever heard the word et cetera in IMDb blur.
It's there. I read it.
Yeah. It is. I'm looking at the page right now, too. All right, so that's kind of lets out some of the plot there. But again, I think everybody who went into this film probably knew that it had something to do with aliens anyway, so I guess it's not really that much of a spoiler.
I was a little irked when I read that initially and saw that they just threw out there that there's aliens. But there's a reason that they could get away with that. We'll talk about it after the spoiler flag.
Well, because
I'm just waiting for the spoiler flag to go up so I can go off.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it's admittedly the whole reason I was watching this film is because it was Phil getting his grave fix. So I kind of knew the only reason we were watching is because in theory there were going to be aliens in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I saw the major advertising campaign or something for the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of has the earmarks of an alien abduction film. So I don't think it's a big spoiler. I mean, kind of like any more than saying Jaws is a film of the shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
Now, if it was like set up to make you believe it was one thing, and then it turns out to be aliens, it was vampires, but no, it was aliens, or that you were set up to believe it was aliens, and then it was the government or werewolves or something, or aliens.
That would be
werewolves.
A neat twist. If somebody made a movie where they make you think it's aliens and it turns out to be werewolves, I am in.
What if is aliens that try to abduct a werewolf?
Anyway.
And the werewolf bites the alien.
What if the aliens were actually demons?
And you get an alien werewolf.
Alien werewolf.
There you
would
go.
It turn into
alien
a
werewolf. Write the script. Boom.
Would it turn into a terrestrial wolf, or is it like an alien equivalent to
then,
a wolf?
Then the alien.
All right.
Then the alien wolf turns into a
pastor. The joke is played. It's proud. Now it's becoming steel.
Phil's Mr. Cranky.
No. Jeez. Anyway, so this film is actually a period piece, which is kind of interesting. It takes place in 1982 for the initial abduction, and then fast forward a year later to 1983. So the film takes place in 1983, and I noticed that even before they gave the date of the film, you know, where it shows on the screen 1982, Blue Hills, Pennsylvania, whatever. I saw the wall, and you know, they're showing the house, the water running, and the house is empty, and then they show the type of phone on the wall, one of those old phones and I immediately go, oh, this doesn't make any sense. What the? And then it flashed the year, and I go, very well done. Well, the question is, why would they decide to make it as a period piece? I'm thinking, based off of some reviews I read, that the writer director was a big fan of Spielberg and all that stuff from his childhood. And so he decided to make the film because some of the music is kind of that Spielberg-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the way it's shot, too, has the vibe as well.
What do you guys think?
You could be. I also think just like I kind of wish everything would be shot as a period piece just so you don't have to deal with the cell phone. That's like the 100% easiest way to not deal with I'm not getting the signal bullshit is to set it when there were no cell phones.
Well, number one, if there's any genre of film where you need to you have the built-in excuse to not have a signal, it is kind of the alien abduction film, right? Because all the electronic stuff tends to go
true. Nuts.
So I couldn't really figure out any reason for this to be a period piece, honestly. I don't have a problem with it being a period piece. But literally, they could have made the film exactly as it was, not mentioned the date, and I don't think it would have been a big deal, other than maybe people wondering, why don't they have cell phones?
Yeah, I can see that, Mike, because besides a couple of small things, like how the TV looked or the phone on the wall, and maybe the model of the vehicles, though even models of vehicles can still work today that are old. I felt that it was fairly timeless in what era this took place, because the clothing isn't, you know, the Michael Jackson type of clothing, that it's more just regular clothing that is timeless. So everything about the film, you would not know that it was a period piece, except for a couple of things like the TV and the phone on the wall.
Right. And they don't, they don't use the, I might be misremembering, honestly, I don't remember the music very well, but they weren't using period music in terms of like pop
music.
Right. Right. People weren't getting abducted to the tunes of 99 Love Balloons or something.
Oh, that would be awesome.
They don't put it against a current event at the time, like, you know, the Atlanta child abductions, you know, which was, would have been in that general vicinity. So, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. It's their money. They can spend it doing all vintage stuff if they want to. It just is what it is. And, you know, for me, early 90s is more the alien abduction craze, I think, than the early 80s. So I understand when they do a slasher film they set in the early 80s. Okay, because you're trying to catch the vibe of the time when that was a thing. But yeah, whatever. I was neither thrilled with it or distracted by it. I kind of forgot about it for most of the film.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was more of a curiosity than anything, I felt. All right. What else? Did you guys feel that the place that it was filmed was a fine stand-in for Pennsylvania?
Sure. I mean, I haven't spent a whole lot of time in Pennsylvania, but looked fine to me.
Have you spent time in upstate New York?
Yes.
You kind of spend time in Pennsylvania, too. Just
fair enough.
A few more pretzels.
I mean, I've driven through Pennsylvania. Yeah, right? I've driven through Pennsylvania, but I've never really hung out in Pennsylvania.
Right.
It depends on where you are.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, based off of my drive in Pennsylvania just a couple of years ago, it felt fairly accurate looking. All right. Anything else not related to the major plot itself that anybody wanted to bring up? Anything?
No, the actors are fine. The effects are fine.
It's all very
fine. The directing is fine.
I will say that the first time I watched this, I actually dozed off during the beginning of the movie. So I went and watched it again this morning.
Or did you?
I lost time, man. The clocks were blinking. But I went back and watched it again this morning, and I had an appreciation for just some of the family banter that was going on at the beginning of the movie. I thought there was some interplay that was going on that was pretty good. And there's also some stuff that makes more sense once you've seen the rest of the movie. Yeah, I thought some of the family stuff was cool, particularly in the scene when they go over to so-and-so's house that they think is setting off the or out in the woods where they think the kids are setting off flares. There was some interplay between the uncle and the kid in the truck that I particularly appreciated.
That was good. Then we kicked their asses.
Right, exactly.
No, I definitely agree. I did love the humanity behind the interactions and stuff like that. I thought that was really strong. I thought every actor did their best with what they were given. And that's what got me really interested, especially when things started happening. I was getting invested in this sort of almost like life and death situation, which I just think when we got to the second part is why I felt very deflated in any of my excitement, because it completely just turns into a different movie and not one that, I mean, I wouldn't say it. I mean, I don't mind when a movie goes with a twist, but it just wasn't something that was all that as engaging as what was going on before.
I get you.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point, Abe. I mean, yeah, the first, like, 15 minutes is really just meeting this family. So it's an extended family of brothers, sisters, their spouses, and some of the children, mostly high schoolers, all together for the anniversary of the death of the child. I shouldn't say death, but the disappearance, I guess, right? Disappearance of the child, and from, you know, the 1 year anniversary. And the reason they're all together is because the anniversary of the loss of the child has caused, I guess, it's big news because, you know, it doesn't happen in this type of town. It was never figured out what happened, where the child went, who took her, I mean. And so the local police constable, which is actually one of the family members, has a press conference and answers questions that, you know, everybody's still upset and bummed about. No solution. Can they do more? You know, things like that, and then whatnot. So that's why they're all together. And then at the 15-minute mark, there's like a plane that flies over that may not be a plane. And then they go out because they think somebody is lighting flares in the forest there, some kids. And so that's when it starts really picking up. And then there's a basement scene that picks up and stuff. But then, yeah, as Abe mentioned, there's a scene that changes the film to almost like a quantum physics type bit that happens, such as what we've seen in 2001, A Space Odyssey and stuff. I mean, I guess it's science fiction, but yeah, you're right. We should probably throw out the spoiler. So let's do that, I guess. We'll discuss everything and anything and critique and give our true thoughts on various scenes and aspects of the film. So I guess it's up now.
Yeah, cool. Because I got stuff to say about the twist.
Proceed.
So here's the thing.
Well, it's almost like two twists. It's kind of interesting. There's the scientific twist, the sci-fi twist, then the family drama twist. So it's kind of interesting. But go on.
Well, it's a little interesting, but it's also really stupid. And here's why. Okay, so there's always been these rumors of alien abductions and then kidnapping people to perform experiments on them or whatever. I've always found that to be a little questionable. Because, I mean, if these are aliens and they developed the technology to travel billions of miles to Earth, do you think they need to experiment on that many people? You think they'd have, you know, technology where they could just, I don't know, maybe one male, one female, and just, like, scan them and know everything about them? I don't know. Anyway, I've always found that to be a little questionable, but I'll go along with it for the trope. So it starts out like an alien abduction movie, and people are getting taken. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But now then we get this twist, and the twist is that the aliens communicate to this family what actually happened to their daughter. And you mean to tell me that these aliens with these advanced technology travel billions and billions of miles across the galaxy to solve a missing child case? What the fuck? That doesn't even make any kind of sense.
Eric, have you never watched network television? Everybody wants to solve murders. You write mystery novels, and oh, wait. There's a murder mystery in town.
What's their motivation? What's their stake in it? Why do they give a fuck? I don't understand. The whole thing's dumb.
I think it's
empathy.
Well, the thing is, too, I agree with, to support Eric's point, is these aliens possess powers that are, you know, world-changing. The very fact they can reveal truth to so many people, because it turns out they showed to other people in the town, because that other officer said she saw the girl. So why do they focus on this small little backwater town to do this little murder and set up these huge world-changing events with the powers they have.
Exactly.
Well, that, again, though, that comes down to what Eric says about all alien invasion, all not alien invasion, alien abduction films, right? I mean, whether it's a book or a movie, most alien abduction takes place in very rural, middle of nowhere place. The trope is that they don't want to be detected, so why not go to the place they would be least spotted, where they can do their things. So I think that would explain that. And again, I would also say that that would be a trope that is used in most of these type of films, so it's not necessarily a true negative, to, in my opinion. I mean, there's negatives for the film.
The role part isn't a negative to me. But the whole why what is the alien's motivation for traveling billions of miles to solve a missing child case? I don't understand it.
They saw the reward money.
Well, was there? Go on, Mike.
I was going to say my issue is I was kind of thinking I couldn't get Mighty Python out of my head from. Where's the line from Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Strange woman lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Aliens abducting people and forcing you to witness their memories is no basis for a criminal prosecution, is basically what my thought was to that. I mean, what they don't have anything on the guy. I mean, they're basically relying on, and you feel real bad about it, you know, as being, we're trusting that the aliens and trusting what the aliens show. And why are we shooting at the whole time the aliens are terrifying them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seems like that whole part of it either.
They didn't know how to fill out a postcard and just say, yeah, hey, the deputy did it. I mean, the anal probing makes a lot more sense to me in this particular case. At least they're going to have a good time.
Maybe they measure your guilt that way.
Well,
was more, my big problem fair. With this movie.
Yeah, to be more fair.
I think we're being fair.
All right. To give another opinion, I guess.
All right.
That sounds more positive, even though I'm not necessarily promoting it as positive, is that the aliens came to do their abduction bit, as we've seen in other films. And during that abduction bit, they discovered the crime. And then they decided to use the quantum physics, space-time, and all that stuff to show the mother what actually happened. And so I think what it's trying to say is that they can read minds and empathy, people's empathy, and all these other things besides just basically experimenting on people. So in other words, their technology is even more than science, where you put them on the operating table and probe them. They're more like the aliens from 2001, A Space Odyssey almost, or Interstellar, where they have this space-time thing so they can actually see moments in time for all the people that they kidnap, as well as some sort of thing that allows them to feel empathy, meaning they can feel the emotions of what individuals are feeling during those moments in time. At least that's what I got. I mean,
well done, Phil. That's a relatively valid explanation.
If something like that was better explained rather than something that's, you know, trying to grasp that, because there's a moment where the deputy is trying to make a guess of that, and I think I wasn't sure if that was just his guess. I mean, or that was the way that the filmmaker was trying to sneak in some reasoning as to why they did it.
Well, that's a fair point.
Well, because if you're the filmmaker, you put things in there to tell people stuff. Not just, especially at the end of the film, you don't just randomly spitball stuff. So I think it was there to say that, right? Because he makes some comment to that effect. So I think that was done deliberately to give you that information to say that's kind of sort of what happened. Because you just can't have the aliens just come out and say it, because that would have been even like really, really doofy. Hey, we just came by to see and what happened to the girl that we used to abduct and anally probe.
Jesus Christ.
And she was gone. And it turned out the deputy dog over here killed her. We thought you'd like to know that, but we're not actually going to do anything about it. Goodbye.
What it is. And that's the thing about a lot of films nowadays, is that they just throw things out without explaining any things, and you just have to figure it out. It's almost like the new hip thing is, if you're not in the room, then we aren't going to explain it. And you're only seeing the point of view of the people who aren't in the room. So my thing is that there's a lot of things that they don't say that you just have to figure out or hope to figure out or guess. But in this case here, I think the aliens are looking at the people similar to how we would look at a bird that has a BB bullet in it, or a bird that hits a window and is knocked out, where we would go out, we would try to help the animal, you know, whether we call the Humane Society or we heal it ourselves, and then let it go, and then we never think about it ever again or see the animal ever again. And so I'm thinking that's how the aliens are looking at the people. So they see these pain and whatever and the empathies and all this other weird stuff while they're doing their experiments. And then they suddenly see all this and they go, well, you know what? Let's heal them. And then they let them go and then they leave, just as us humans would just leave the bird after it's healed to fly away.
But we don't like, oh, hi, when watching your little nest and we found the dead bird and we just want to let you know this other bird over here did it. Bye. I'm just saying, well, it's to me, I mean, and this is like, I give them credit for trying something different. It just, for me, didn't really work. It was, it just threw me. It just didn't work for as a twist or whatever you want to call it. It's as a turn in the story. It just seems strange. And I know it's not that. I don't necessarily know that the idea itself is fundamentally wrong. There's a lot that it just felt poorly delivered. Kind of, it does come out of nowhere, which I guess if something like that happens, that nowhere would be kind of where it comes from, because there are aliens, right? I mean, I don't know. It either works for you or it doesn't work for you, and it just was too hard of a bank for me, and there were too many questions about it, and you know, like I said, the big thing that was getting to me about it was just kind of, well, what are they going to do about it? What did the aliens expect them to do about it? I mean, they don't have any evidence. They don't have any proof. And they're just kind of fortunate that the deputy's kind of a bitch and gives it up, right?
Yeah. Well, and I have questions about the whole situation, too. Like, okay, so what happens is that the aliens come and they scoop up a few people and they're missing for a little bit. And then there's this kind of climactic scene where the mother is in bed and one of the aliens comes. he comes out of the closet. Hello.
And he was fabulous.
But the alien comes out of the closet and you think something bad's going to happen to the mom. But then what happens is that he transfers these memories or images, rather, because it was kind of a floating point of view, not really one that an actual person had, but shows her the events of when the day her child went missing, and that it was a sheriff's deputy who's like a friend of the family that's been hanging out with them this whole time that did it. But watching those images was slightly confusing for me because, first of all, I thought the dude playing the sheriff's deputy did a pretty good job of like portraying that, he was kind of trying to fight off his own urges, but in the end couldn't. But I'm also wondering exactly what that was. Like, was his... Did he, like, want to kill the kid and that was his goal? Or was it a pedophilia thing and it just went wrong and he ended up killing her? Like, they never show us what actually went down. They just show you going into her room and then later carrying her dead body.
Well, there's a moment where he uses scalding hot water to almost, like, stave himself away. Because he's actually walking towards the door afterwards. And I think he's supposed to suggest a pedophilia thing because it just, you know, I think he probably assault her. And then figured after he realized what he had done, he knew he had to shut her up because she would just tell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what it was.
I figured that too. I was just wondering what you guys thought because they didn't really spell it out.
I thought it was a horrible, horrible tea party accident. No, I mean
I'm actually with Abe, I think.
Yeah, no, so something went wrong. I get it. I get on the one hand, the desire to know what happened. On the other hand, I don't know that I needed to see all the pedophilia.
Well, no. Nobody needs to see that.
No.
Well, I mean, this guy clearly did.
Well, it wasn't clear. That's why I'm asking questions.
Yeah, but it would have been, yeah, I guess it would have been nice to know, was he like a Freddy Krueger child killer?
Right.
I don't think so.
Or was it pedophilia and he just did it wrong? I mean, which then offers a whole
is there a right way? I think Abe is 100% right because he went into house, whether he has done these horrible type of acts to other people, I don't know. Maybe I'm guessing not based off of how the actor portrayed the individual, meaning the character that he was playing, which was basically fighting himself. So, you know, the girl was, you know, thought of him as an uncle or whatever. Hey, come on in, you know, whatever. The parents will be home soon, whatever. You know, you can wait if you want. She leaves the room. He begins to have, like, you could tell that something's wrong in his head, but you can see he doesn't want to do anything. And then he goes to the kitchen and still you can see he's fighting himself, meaning the actor without any words was really portraying the character really well. He's a really good actor. And then he goes upstairs and he's basically roaming the hall. And then finally he walks into the room and he shuts the door because he finally decided that he was going to do what he wanted to do, which was the pedophilia or whatever. And then after he did it, most likely, I don't think it was, I think it was an intentional killing, and it was intentional not because he's a Freddy Krueger killer, but because he I don't think it was an accident that she died. I think he killed her most likely, as Abe said, to cover up the crime. And then he hid the body. And the reason
I kind of had that same thought in my head. I was just wondering what you guys thought, because it wasn't really, you know, there's a cut in time there.
Now, yeah, it's a little weird. I don't think it matters much. He's clearly got bad purpose on his mind, and she dies as a result. That's the main thing that we need to know, because we're not adjudicating this to figure out is it homicide or manslaughter, or he's a bad person. But yeah, it would have been nicer to have a little bit more information to figure out, which it just sounds strange. To say we want to know more about what horrible, horrible thing he did to this child.
well, no, but maybe like a little 30-second scene where she's sitting on the bed and he sits down next to her and maybe puts a hand on her shoulder and then cut away or something like that, just to give a little more clarity. That's all. That's all I was looking for.
Right.
Nothing explicit, because that's gross.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this. When we see the beginning film, beginning scene, basically the parents come home, they had gone out somewhere shopping or whatever, and they find out their daughter's gone, and they begin to panic, and then they cut to a year later. I was surprised because I thought at that point this movie was going to be about an alien abduction of the girl.
Right.
And so that was the first kind of twist, which is the girl had nothing to do with aliens at all.
Right.
Or, well, they came to say hello. Right? I mean, she did. But her disappearance had nothing to do with the girls.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. So the girl had not been kidnapped by the aliens, and the aliens may have never even been there until the day of the anniversary.
Right.
Is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was probably right then. Okay.
Yeah, the aliens had to check the calendar. They didn't want to be late.
Yeah, so it was just a coincidence that the aliens showed up a year later from the time their daughter went missing. Is my guess. Because I don't think the aliens had anything to do with the original thing. Now let me ask you this. Did you think the father, so the patriarch of the family, do you think he was lying about the flare? Because he sees what he thinks is maybe an airplane or spaceship, and then he decides to go out alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if he was. Yeah. So was he basically programmed and similar to like Close Encounters, where he was told that, oh, if you go out to a certain spot, you can maybe there's something out there. Okay, then why was he? Why didn't he want other people? And it was so coincidental that he says, "I'm going to go out looking for flares," because it was most certainly not a flare that flew over the house, and he couldn't believe that it was.
He was just trying to make an excuse to get out there and take a look around.
Yeah, he still couldn't let go of what happened, so he was trying to find any excuse he could to keep searching and keep that hope alive. Because this happened right after his talk with his brother, when his brother suggested just to make peace with it.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, good point. Good point. Okay. So he was just lying about the flares. Then he just wanted to get out of the house.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. That's what I thought. I thought. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. So
I also enjoyed how, even in that short scene at the beginning, when they're coming home, that they portrayed the happy-go-lucky, married couple, and then cut to a year later, and the family's just not holding together. I thought that was done pretty well, because like I know somebody who lost their child, and that shit will tear a family apart. How is a parent supposed to cope with that? And of course, if there's the son who's still there, but they're not really thinking about that. They're thinking about the daughter that they lost. And so he gets neglected and the whole thing's just a bucket of shit. And I thought that was portrayed very well without any clunky exposition.
Now, Eric, the example, the analogy of the people that you know, what was it, a person that just disappeared or they died?
It was an overdose.
Gotcha. Yeah, all right. Yeah, and I agree with you, Eric. You're right, because the first scene, it's bright as can be, sunny day and all that. And then when we cut to the future, which really just takes a place in a 24-hour period, it's already dusk and it's kind of, I guess, dreary. And then the whole family, like you said, is they're just like all in tunnel vision, it kind of seems. Certain people are angry or right, depressed. And there's some sniping at the dinner table when they're all together. And then the son flips out saying, you're not doing this again, because the father was picking on the youngest of his siblings, you know, so the son's uncle, and he was just like, the son just was like, give me a break, and he heads to his room.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a good point, Eric. The family dynamic, or soap opera, if you prefer, Mike, since I always say that, actually worked out pretty good. You're right. Now, were you guys bored with it, though? Because I did read some reviews that said that the beginning, before they get to the forest scene, some critics, even though they said the film was decent or well done or whatever, they felt that the first part was too slow, in the sense that if you're watching a genre picture, nothing happens, because it's more of a family drama and not a genre picture.
Well, I mean, it's character work, and some people enjoy it and some people don't, and those critics didn't, and that's fine. I fell asleep, so clearly it wasn't riveting for me either. But I don't think it was poorly done. I just think it was a choice on the part of the script writer. And some people will appreciate it, and some people won't.
Yeah, that's a fair point. What about yourself, Abe?
I liked it. As I said, because I felt it really did get some character and some understanding into where they were all coming from. And I kind of got me invested, especially when the second part started happening, when people started disappearing one by one. But as I said, once the twist came around, all that kind of got deflated. So, I mean, still good performances and stuff like that, but my emotional investment kind of was a little damaged a bit.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. What about you, Mike?
I didn't necessarily have a problem with it. I thought it was okay. I don't know that I would have wanted it to go any longer. Could have been tightened up a little bit, maybe, but no, I was fine with it. Yeah, I think it was okay. You know, we didn't really get a chance to meet these characters before, so I was getting a chance to kind of meet everybody, setting up the dynamic, and really that is kind of what this whole payoff is about, right? The last shot of the film, if I remember correctly, the couple back in bed together and sleeping peacefully, so the idea is the family has been healed, and that does end up sort of being the most important through line of the film, right, is that the loss of the child tears the family apart, and it's not the loss of the child so much as that she disappears. And by finding out and solving her murder, they can all live happily ever after, for lack of a better term.
Sure. No, that's fair. Now, Eric, you said you liked the forest scene pretty much, so I guess we've talked something about that, partly about that, if you want. What do you think?
No, I mean, there's really not much to tell. Alien shit and good acting.
Yeah, there was a forest. There were some lights.
Now, who was basically, originally it was only going to be the patriarch that was going to go, but then the constable, his son, and I guess two of his brothers go, so there's a total of five. A couple of people sit in the truck bed.
Well, so and they give a reason for it, which is that apparently he had an encounter with this family in the past and ended up spending the night in jail. So that's nobody wanted them out there confronting this family by himself. They were trying to protect him from himself.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, another thing that made this feel like a fairly decent period piece was how a few people sat in the bed of the truck nowadays. I think that's actually illegal.
I think it's always been illegal, but it's just people didn't give a shit back in the 80s.
Gotcha. Now, who was driving? The cop was driving the car, right? The truck, I mean?
I think so, yeah.
The father was driving it.
The father was?
You're right, because he reaches over and turns on the radio when he gets pissed about the comment that his brother makes.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, all right. So, basically, where they drive to, middle of the forest, in a wooded area, the road travels through the forest and whatnot. But it's coincidentally, as we'll find out later in the film, the location of where the body was, right? Where
I don't know if it's
buried.
Right, X marks the spot, but it's close.
Right, because they show later in the film the perspective of the cop when the aliens show up in the forest at that night. They show later in the film the cop's perspective, and it's the same location, or the general same location, where he buried the body, I guess. So, and whatnot. Let's see, what else about the forest scene did anybody want to talk about? That's where the first abduction was, right? The uncle, the one that was saying to let it go, mm-hmm. he's the one that goes first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and here's a question. If the aliens didn't know what was going on until they read people's memory and they hadn't taken anybody until this point in the movie, how were they here in the right place?
Yeah. You mean the family or the aliens?
The aliens. Because the reason they're out there is because the dad saw some in the woods.
Yeah, right. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I guess you could say it's just coincidence, or you could say that. I don't know.
But at that point in time, the aliens interfere with the sheriff's deputy and make him flash back to when he was burying the girl.
That's right.
So at that point, the aliens are active and involved and already know what's happened.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So how does that work? I think I just found a plot hole, but whatever.
Well, I don't even know.
It's timey-wimey alien stuff. We'll just leave it at that.
Right.
Well, because they were able to transport him back. He either actually went back in time astrally projecting, or they gave him the illusion of it. So they got some type of crazy, powerful mind control shit going on.
Right. Well, also, if it happened and he participated in killing the girl, which he did, and he was at the location where it happened, where he's buried the girl, obviously that would be on his mind, right? I mean, we don't mm-hmm. know what the demons are in the darkness of a human mind, but, you know, it's right. Well, it's like you know, you can go to on a bus, and as we saw in like a film like Unbreakable, he goes into the train station in New York City, and mm-hmm. he just touches a person, and suddenly he sees that, oh my god, I'm just a murderer right there. You know, so you're walking by people that have probably done a lot of bad things.
Yeah. We totally got everything wrong. The aliens have mind control powers, and they made the sheriff's deputy kill the girl and bury her in the woods, and now they're pinning it on him.
And that's why he feels so bad about it.
Yes. Because he didn't want to. The aliens made him. He just didn't know it.
I don't know about that. But back to the point. So I'm thinking that the aliens have that unbreakable touch. They can tell, you know. Again, it comes down to, like, I think what you said, Eric, and I think, Mike, you said it too earlier, which is people the script doesn't actually answer a lot of the stuff. And like I even said, which is it's the new hip thing where if you're not in the perspective of the character, they're not going to tell you anything. In other words, the days of exposition in a lot of these indie films has gone, because that's what used to happen, at least in older films I've seen that are indie. You know, the problem is they have these long exposition scenes, and it's like, this is so stupid. Now they've gone the complete opposite, I've noticed, in a lot of them. And this is kind of like that, where a lot of things aren't explained because it's not the perspective of the people involved.
Well, and personally, I prefer under-explained to over-explained. And usually between the four of us, we come up with at least a good theory.
Yeah.
Right, and sorry, Abe, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I think the modern explanation it required really depends on sometimes on certain genres, too. Fantasy, for example, when you're building an entire new world with its own elements and some kind of how things work, you have to give a lot of explanation to understand why things work. This here, though, is most of it, it says in the real world, the only thing that needs was the only fantastical thing, of course, was the extraterrestrials. So you could have at least given some slight bit of explanation, or at least some hint of an idea. And but sometimes the mystery is also helpful too. Sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I think, Chrissy, this is where, you know, we're talking about exposition. This is you know, where Chrissy would talk about the as you know Bobs, or I think of Cliff Clavin from Cheers going, you know. Well, sure, Nam. It's a
fact. That...
It's a well-known fact that aliens have a third eye that allows them to read your mind. You know, that's everybody knows that. You know, so yeah, they don't dump that exposition. A lot is covered by the fact that aliens, you know, sort of going back to. Dark Knight Rises. How did Batman get back to Gotham City? Because he's Batman.
Batman.
How did the aliens know what he did? Because they're fucking aliens. That's all you need to know.
That line needs to be in the movie. Why is this happening? Because they're fucking aliens.
Right. Why are they probing me anally? Because they're fucking aliens. And you got a cute ass.
Oh, Lord. Well, this guy's weird.
It's about aliens, and they like to anally probe people. There's no way to not be weird about it.
Anyway, did anybody ever actually claim to get anally probed?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
I don't know from what, but yeah. So, let's see what, So actually rewatching the film or replaying parts of the film, how the cop acts during this scene, tells you a lot because, you know, now that we, you know, that he's guilty and that he's seen the flashback and all this other stuff that we don't know about until later in the film. His breakdown and becoming like a blubbery fool has nothing to do with the aliens making him that way. It's him having his guilt, I think. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
I also kind of liked how when everybody was imparted with the information, I didn't use those words right. But anyway, once everybody knows, the one that actually gets upset enough to physically attack him isn't the family of the girl who was taken, it's his wife.
Oh, was that his wife?
I believe so, wasn't it?
Yeah, his wife.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It was his wife. Oh, yeah. Because, you're right, for a second there, I thought that wife, that woman was actually the wife of the guy that's said, you know, you got to move on to the patriarch. But you're right, that guy already had lost his wife to cancer or something. Mm-hmm. You know, because he was that's the whole his whole story was, you know, I lost my wife, you know, and, you know, eventually I had to move on. You know, you just got to hang in there and move on. So you're right. Yeah. So that woman was actually the wife of the cop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's disgusting. Oh, my God. No wonder why she freaked. Because, yeah, I thought that was interesting, too, that out of all the people that freaked out first and got pissed was the woman, and you know, I thought that was just like an act or something, but you're right, it's not even that. It was because that was her husband that did the crime.
So not only did he do this horrible thing to this girl, but he did it to a family that's close friends of theirs, and he lied to her about it the whole time and covered it up, and she had no idea she was living with this kitty killer.
Yeah, she's basically got two choices, which is it's either her life is over or she's got to sign a book deal fast.
Yeah, I mean, funny or not, Mike, that's basically us, all her.
No, it's the truth, right? Because it's one of two things. Either you're going to always be blamed for this and you're going to be always connected to the, you know, in this little town, or you're going to cash in on it. It's one of the two. Mm-hmm. And often the two go together.
Right, right. And even if she isn't blamed, meaning she packs her bags and moves out of the town, her life is completely change from the moment it was 2 minutes earlier. because, you know, she could get away. You know, she packs her bags, moves to another town, another state, you know, and she's fine, technically, even though everything changes. But yeah, her whole life as she knows it is over, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's ruined. Yep.
Yeah. Now, what else? So the aliens come. They know that it's aliens at this point. And when the uncle gets taken, they just bail because it's aliens. It's not like, oh, we have to find...
they're fucking aliens.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool how it's done, too, right? Because you see the light go through the trees, and so every time it goes behind...
I like the visual effects in this movie.
Yeah, it's really, pretty soft.
Yeah, for a small budget film like that, it was really good.
Yeah. It was actually really, really ingenious. You know, if you wanted to get a spookiness to it, because the light is in the distance and it goes by behind a tree and pops out on the other side of the tree, and so it goes black light, and then suddenly you see it in the move upwards, and that's when you know it's not a flashlight.
Oh, right.
And then. You know, and then they all come, the little balls of light.
Balls of fire.
That's right. And then the abduction, they have the ray that comes down and pulls out the person or makes them disappear or whatever.
Well, real quick before I forget, because it just popped back into my head. I'd actually already forgotten about it. My favorite line in the whole movie is after the stuff happens at the house and the aliens are scaring them and they run out of the house and the one guy's got an axe and there's a car coming down the road and they try and flag him down and get a ride and they just turn around and drive away. And the kid's like, why did they just drive away? And the kid's like, you were running at them with an axe.
That was awesome.
That was
a good line.
Yeah, it was actually pretty fucking funny. Also, the first thing that I noticed, and you probably did too, Mike, I think this was the first scene, the far scene that did a quote-unquote rip-off or homage to another film, and that was the Close Encounters where the vehicle doesn't start, the truck.
There was the vehicle didn't start, and didn't Close Encounters also have the little symbol monkey?
Yes, it had that too, yeah.
And there's also the knife in the pantry from Signs.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Right. In the chimney. She uses it for the chimney, yeah.
Chimney, right. But, didn't they do that in Signs? Yeah.
Yes, they did, yes. Yeah.
Because at first I thought, oh, that's interesting, but that seems familiar. This is why I wasn't sure, was it an homage? Were they ripping them off? And I don't really know. I mean, I think that the symbol, I don't know. How many kids even had that damn symbol monkey? Like, every child in a movie?
I know.
There's a symbol monkey in there?
It's terrifying. It's horrifying.
First of all, no one would want one of those. But you know what? I think it's that era, Mike, because Close Encounters was, 77? And this is supposed to take place 6 years later? So there probably were a lot of symbol monkeys back then. I mean, even that Monkey Shines film, which George Romero did, that was, you know, in the 80s. And there was no symbol monkey in the movie. One of the trailers, that's all they showed, was a symbol monkey. So
it must have been a popular
toy. What's that?
Wasn't it also on the poster?
Yeah,
it was on the poster.
Wasn't
it
the poster of one of his books, too, one of his short story books, Skeleton Crew?
Oh, for King, too. Yeah, that for King,
Yep.
But that has a story, I think, with the symbol.
It does.
It must have been.
And do you know why? Because they're fucking creepy.
Oh, they're creepy as hell, and they must have been a real popular toy at that time. Why? I don't know.
We were alive at the time. I remember wanting Slinkies, Silly Putty. Rubik's Cube. I know people who wanted hula hoops. I don't know anyone ever said, can I get one of those creepy things that stares at you when you're trying to sleep and just waiting to smash together the symbols?
Well, for whatever reason, they were in a lot of movies back then, if not a real toy. I know, seriously. It's like who the hell would want one of those?
Especially when it's grinning at you. When it grins at you, it's like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If I gave one of those to my kids, I don't know if they'd make it out of childhood healthy.
You would seriously have some therapy bills to start paying.
That's the truth.
Oh, he already does. He took them to cats.
No, that was a good film. I mean, it was fine for the kids. It's fine with the kids. It went over their head.
Because they missed the whole thing of Judi Dench licking herself.
Oh, God.
Oh, and then
this went off the rails fast.
Yeah.
We should do an episode on cats, I guess. I don't know.
not on this podcast.
So they get back to the house, and then, like, you know, we were talking about some of the stuff at the house. So that's when we see the symbol monkey, and the knife is used as a mirror. And then there's the whole basement scene. And actually that's when the cop got abducted, was in the basement scene. So maybe that's when the aliens actually finally discovered what he did.
That can't be true.
Yeah, explain.
They had to know when they were in the woods. Because otherwise, how could they zap the sheriff back to when he did that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
One thing I was kind of wondering was like, okay, so they kidnap these people and what the hell are they doing? Are they just sitting down having popcorn, watching TV while they're waiting for everybody to get the message? Like, what the hell? Why kidnap some people? But
that's where the whole thing falls apart, Abe.
It's just kind of weird because they all they had to do is just show them, wait till they don't fall asleep, sneak into the house, then give them the vision.
Well, that could be true, but again, all these alien abduction movies, the ones that actually, whether they're villainous or not villainous aliens, they do this.
Hmm. Well, I think we ran this movie to the ground.
Yeah, really, when you think about it, this basically did the ghost story trope, where they're in the house, horrible things happen to them, but the ghosts really are just there to tell them how to solve the murder or find their buried body or you know, reveal the trauma. And then once the trauma's out, reveal the crime. And that's, I think, where the stir of echo things come in. You know, then the spirits can go away back to Mars or wherever they go. So it's kind of taking that overlay and putting it on the alien abduction trope, which I guess is novel. I just didn't feel like it fit perfectly.
Yeah. No, that's fair. So the scene in the basement, that was pretty solid, I felt. I don't know if anybody felt that it was an homage or a theft from another movie, or do you think it was didn't see anything? I mean, did anybody think it had any? Because I don't know. I was trying to think because I noticed so many things in this film that had like little homages.
I mean, the whole thing was derivative of all the Gray movies that had come before it. I'm not saying that with malice in my voice. It's just kind of a thing that's out there now. It's been established.
Yeah. Okay. So
and there's certain lore, with alien abductions that just lends itself to specific imagery. Alien abduction is a weirdly specific thing. And there's alien abduction phenomenon and the stories out there. You know, you have what the aliens look like. You have the lights in the sky. You know, you have whatever missing time. All, you know, the electronics kind of going haywire. There's not a lot of room to vary off of that path, right? So where there's a lot more room to, if you're going to do a vampire story or a zombie story, there's a lot more room, I think, to play around with it. aliens have the alien abductors have an MO, right? They're big, they're gray, they come at night, they hit the rednecks, and they anal probe you. That's it, and you kind of got to stick to that.
Right. Well, yeah, but you know what? You have a couple of, like, we've done a handful of alien films, and some of them were like Alien Abduction, and I love that film. I actually thought it was incredible because it found footage. It was but
that,
it was scary
that was
as hell.
A good movie, and I'm really mad it has such a generic title and nobody will ever watch it.
Did we
it's
do
true.
An episode on that?
I think we did actually.
Yeah, yeah. And actually,
is
I have it as
a dog in it, or am I thinking of an episode of a segment on VHS?
That's the VHS. Yeah, that's a VHS one. Yeah.
I remember that, Dark Skies. That one I liked.
Yeah, that was solid. Yeah. Yeah.
With Terry Russell.
Devil's Gate. We did.
What's that, Phil? I didn't hear you.
Yep, Devil's Gate. We did that one too, in North Dakota, but it was something kind of more new. And then
it was definitely different, right? I'll give it that.
Yeah, yeah. And then we did Dark Skies, and then they look like people, which didn't really have grays, but it was kind of alienish.
Kind of,
maybe.
Yeah.
That was the one where again that was the one where maybe he was crazy, maybe he wasn't.
Exactly. Yes.
Kind of like the other movie that I. Brain not working good.
Forget the name. Right.
Brain tired. Think slow.
I Trapped the Devil, right? Kind of like that one, too, in a way. I mentioned the top. And sort of like Pod, right? Was the person crazy or was it real? Except in that case.
Oh, yeah, Pod. That was another good one, yeah.
Yeah.
That was enjoyable. Yeah, that was a good episode, too.
Yeah, yeah. That was an episode that me and Abe just did because it was like during a holiday and we were the only two that could do it. Alien Abduction. I actually put that one down for that top 100 of the decade list. I have that on, I think it's my number 10, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was a pretty solid film. But you're right. No one has ever heard of it.
I liked, we didn't do an episode on this, but I liked The Fourth Kind. A lot of people kind of pissed on the movie. I don't understand why. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, that was actually pretty solid.
That the movie that claimed it was real?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was part of it, was the fact that they faked... No, not that they did fake footage, but they faked footage and pretended and claimed it was real footage when it actually wasn't.
When it was next to the fake footage?
And it was, I had students who were believing that
I
was...
I don't know how to use Google.
No, they only know how to use Google if they can use it to watch porn, stream movies, or play games.
And I'm not totally into The Fourth Kind when I watched it, and then I looked it up afterwards. I was like, oh, that's not real. That's a bummer, but it's still a cool movie.
Yeah, it was still a pretty solid film, all in all. That's no doubt about it. Yeah.
Anyway, we're not talking about other movies, which I think might indicate we're done talking about this one.
Yeah, we're kind of going in a circle.
Well, all right, let's just talk about the last
one. Phil just can't stand not having an episode 3 hours long.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that, Eric, or something like it. But let's just wrap up the quantum physics time-space thing first.
We're going to wrap that up, are we?
Yeah.
I'll take my Nobel Prize now. Thank you very much.
There you go. What did you guys think of that? I mean, obviously, like you said, Abe, you felt because it's a separate, different type of it switches the film completely, and that's unfortunate. And then you, Eric, said, you know, it was somewhat weird because it's like, did they come a million miles or a billion miles just for that and stuff? But the concept, what about the concept? What did you think of the concept? I mean, I thought it was cool. It's just that I didn't think it felt.
Are you referring to?
The concept of how she meaning the matriarch, goes into the time, space-time quantum thing so she can go back.
The idea of imparting the information that way?
Yeah.
That was cool. Yeah, I don't understand how it's possible, but there's a bunch of stuff about aliens that can travel here that I might seem like magic to us.
Yeah, right, right. And that's probably how you would do it, is this new quantum mechanics or something that could figure out how to travel across time that quickly. Space that quickly. What's that?
Maybe both.
Yeah, there you go. Mike, you were the one that, I know, it felt it was unfortunate because it was a different movie as a result. What did you think, Mike? Did this bother you, this aspect at the that space time thing?
No, not really.
I mean, it wasn't so much the space time thing. It was more of, it became aliens solving a mystery.
Right. Yeah, right. Alien Souls and Mystery. Mike, you actually said you liked the idea because it did something different with...
I like the concept. I don't know that they executed it great. I would have liked to end it with him saying, you know, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those meddling aliens.
That's true.
Then they did have a dog.
If it wasn't for those kids and Scooby-Doo.
Right.
Yeah, wow. That's right, the dog. Yeah, that's a fair point. I was kind of bummed that the girl, it was a human murder of the girl, though, because I was hoping it was a true alien abduction film. I mean, it does turn to that because everybody else in the family suddenly gets abducted, but it's interesting that the original mystery that you're going into the film thinking that it's an alien abduction, or what they're going to find out to be an alien abduction, it really wasn't. I don't know how I felt about that.
You were looking for your traditional Grades movie, and you didn't get that.
Yeah, I guess so. And I also get, I guess, very, especially now that I have two daughters, very uncomfortable about the pedophile criminal, you know?
I don't have any kids, and that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to make you comfortable. It's supposed to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah. So I guess
it's an easy button to press.
Yeah. So it did its job, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I did like how the dog reappeared. That was kind of cool.
I liked the way they did it, too, where the guy's just in the kitchen. He's like, I forget what the dog's name is, but he's like, oh, hey, Max. And he's like, Max!
Yeah!
he just takes it for granted his dog is there, and is like, holy shit, the dog's back!
Right. Yeah, that was awesome.
Everything's fine now!
Right.
At least the dog's back!
Right. Let's see. All right, so anything else anybody wanted to bring up about the film? Any specific scenes or topics or anything? Anyone? All right, so I guess we can. That'll be it for the film review and critique. We'll give our final thoughts after maybe some news and whatnot. Anybody seen anything? Let's go to the next segment then. Anybody seen anything they wanted to let people know about that would interest them in genre? Eric, you did say before we started recording, we were looking through films possibly to do for next week, and one film I brought up was The Ascent, and you said you didn't like that. No. Okay, what happened? You just took a shot to rent it?
I took a shot on it because I was bored. It's a low-budget possession movie and not a great one.
Really? Okay, so it's fairly mediocre then.
Yeah.
So avoid it. Don't.
I gave it,
don't.
Yeah, on Letterboxd, I gave it 2.5 out of 5 stars.
Okay, yeah, so that's as mediocre as you can get. Not the most horrendous thing, but average at best. All right. Yeah. Any other films that you've seen that you wanted to mention? You actually saw a movie at the theater with Blake Lively, and we were actually considering possibly doing it as an episode.
I actually ended up not going to see that.
Oh, okay. What happened?
I purchased a ticket for it and didn't use it because stuff happened, and I was trying to find the time to make it out, and then like I just heard so many bad things about it, I decided, F it, I'm not going. It's getting horrible reviews. So
I forget the name of it.
The Rhythm Section.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So that may be a VOD watch later.
Maybe not. I mean, the slash film cast toward part. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is bad because Blake Lively, she's.
They said she was good. They said her acting is not the problem with this movie. She did a great job. It's the filmmaking and the script that's the problem.
Gotcha. Now, is that...
it's a movie that comes out in January?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, there you go, early February. Yeah. That's Dan Chen's podcast, right?
Dave Chen,
that's what I meant to say, sorry.
Dave Chen, Jeff Cannata, and Devendra Hardwar.
Gotcha. And what's that podcast called again?
It's called Slash Filmcast.
Yeah, that's right. Any other films, Eric, that you've seen, VOD, yeah. TV shows?
I finally caught up with... David Cronenberg's film Rabid. I'd never seen that before.
The original
I caught up with in preparation to watch the Soska Sisters ones, which I have not done yet. I also watched the movie.
Marilyn Chambers in it?
Yes.
Rabid?
Okay, yep.
And I saw that too because I got the Scream Factory version of it. What did you think of that film?
It's good. It's a little weird, but that's okay. It's Cronenberg. So I liked it. And I'm intrigued to see what the Soska Sisters do with it.
Did you get the Scream Factory disc or did you just rent it?
I just rented it digitally.
Gotcha.
I also caught up with a movie on Mike's recommendation. I watched, Little Monsters, with Lupita Nyong'o. She's also awesome.
Taylor Swift songs, right? Taylor Swift songs.
Yes. There are many Taylor Swift songs accompanied by a ukulele in this movie. it's a lighter zombie movie. It's on the comedy side, which isn't my favorite, but it's not. I enjoyed the movie. I give it 3.5 stars. I would recommend it.
I wonder how they got the. Rights to use this. It must have paid a lot of money, or they just were.
Well, it's on Hulu, which is owned by Disney, and money's not a problem for Disney. So
there you go. Yeah. So it's a Hulu original. It's one of their.
I don't know if it's a Hulu original. That's where I watched it.
Gotcha.
And it was included.
Mike, where did you watch yours?
On Hulu because it's free there.
Okay, so yeah. Okay, so it could be one of those. Now. Erica, did you actually see the Soska Sisters version of Rabid?
Not yet.
Okay. Anything else, Mike? I mean, Eric.
Nope, that's it for me.
Okay. What about yourself, Mike? Anything you wanted to mention that you've watched or whatnot? The genre?
Bad Head Cold. And we have a habit of backing into the start of the podcast. So did I mention watching Gretel and Hansel at the start of the podcast, or did I mention Gretel and Hansel before the start of the podcast?
Before. So you saw that film. Explain that.
I saw Gretel and Hansel, which felt like a way of someone trying to do a Robert Eggers film and not doing it well.
Who's that?
The Witch?
Is that the guy from Witch?
The Witch.
Right.
Yeah, it's visually nice, and I don't necessarily object to any of the performances in the film. It just left me kind of bored. Again, I mean, that was me. Maybe it's the cold medicine talking, so I could be completely out my ass. But it wasn't scary remotely. I don't know if it was trying to be scary. I don't really know what it was trying to do. And it's just I don't know. I don't get it.
Right.
I really don't.
So disappointing.
Yeah, I thought I was expecting it to be fantastic. It's got a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's marginally fresh, I suppose.
Yep. Sure.
And I can't say I was like watching it going, boy, I'm hating it. I was kind of like, you know, dawned on me 2/3 of the way through the film that, you know, I don't think I like this movie, only because I'm not having a positive reaction to it.
Sure, yeah. All right, so it's something to wait for rental or free on, like, a streaming service?
I would try to wait for free. I mean, I don't know that you're really missing anything. I don't think there's anything in there that makes me say, it's not a good film. Oh, but you have to see, you know, so this.
So they could just skip it, too, is what you're saying, too.
Yeah. I'm not saying you have to skip it. I'm not saying it's horrible. I'm just saying it's just kind of there.
Sure. All right, fair enough. Besides Gretel and Hansel, or whatever it was called, anything else?
Not really. I've been mostly homesick for most of the week, sleeping when I'm not at work.
Sure. What about yourself, Abe?
Yesterday I went to the Luna Theater that's in downtown Lowell with my brother and some of his friends for Weirder Wednesdays.
You saw that Roger Corman film.
Yep, Galaxy of Terror, which was my first time actually viewing it. And it was quite a fun experience. The movie was absolutely ridiculous, and just riffing on it with the audience and just having a good laugh at how over the top it was just a great time. It was even funny seeing Sig Haig and England in it. Especially seeing Sig Haig compared to what I've seen in other films as a crystal ninja star throwing bodyguard, which was something that was just absolutely delightful. It was just one of those kind of cheesy films you just kind of check out just to see belief. That's all I really got to see outside of today's topic. I had fun. It was fun just because of how cheesy it was.
Sure. I actually have the Blu-ray version of it. I think I bought it twice because the Roger Corman collection had some, I think it was by Screen Factory, as a matter of fact, released it. And a couple of years ago, so I bought that. And I watched it, and I thought it was pretty cool. The mantis scene was pretty crazy. I actually then bought the new 4K version of it that they made, and they put it in a steel case. So I got it in that too.
Do you have a 4K TV, Phil?
No, it's not really 4K. It's a what's that thing where they do? It's not 2HD, but they do 4HD. You know what I'm talking about? Mike may know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's a 4K scan, but it's
scan,
not a 4K.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. So okay. I miss. Yeah, so it's actually I got the 4K. It's a 4K.
Oh, scan. It's a Blu-ray, but it's a 4K scan. Now I'm with you. Okay,
yeah,
I got you.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and it's loaded with extras too. So I mean, if you're a fan of the film, it's a pretty good disc. So Abe, would you probably go do that again? You think?
What? Watch Galaxy of Terror again?
Well, not necessarily Galaxy of Terror again, but do one of those old movie nights at that theater.
Oh, absolutely! It's an absolute blast because Weird Wednesdays, they never tell you what movie you're going to get. When you go sit in, and it's free. It's absolutely free. So you don't have to pay any admission. So it's always a nice surprise, and it was just a great time.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah. And it's on big screen, too.
It's kind of like a decent good size screen, and it's done in a very old style movie theater setting.
Sure. Right. Oh, that's cool. And, Galaxy of Terror, would you watch it again?
If I had some beers and some folks laugh with it, perhaps.
Okay, fair enough. Anything else, Abe, that you want to bring up?
Nope.
Okay. For me, I actually decided to watch an older film. So I watched Kiss the Girls, starring Morgan Freeman, based off of the James Patterson novel. And the reason I did that was because I got the novel to read. And the movie was actually pretty solid. I liked it. I honestly wish I didn't watch it until I finished reading the book, though, because now I'm like, well, like the cool 50 pages I read of the book, now I kind of know what's going to happen, which is kind of unfortunate. One night I just said, I'll just watch it. It usually doesn't ruin my liking of the book, but I still wish I didn't do that. And then I'm rewatching Game of Thrones from the beginning, and so I'm now on... I just finished The Nuke. the scene. What was that? Was that the mother's? I forget the name of the episode, but it's the one where
it has the word winter in the title. I forget what it is.
Winds of Winter. Winds of Winter. That's it. Yeah. So I just finished that. So I'm finishing
You're
up.
You're most the way there then.
Yeah. I started a couple of weeks ago. But I'm. When I rewatch, I mean those seasons. I think what was it? Season 4, 5, and 6. They're just incredible.
5 was the one that really fell down for me.
Oh, what was bad? You mean?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I can't remember. I thought I kind of enjoyed it, but. I don't know.
That was the one with all the House of Black and White shit.
Oh yeah, that stuff's
terrible. Yeah.
I've actually fast forward through certain stuff.
So you're not actually watching it then?
Yeah. Well, what I do is I watch.
What he's doing is just perving on Sophie Turner. That's basically.
No. Actually, the best scenes don't even have her. It's the Cersei scenes actually. But what I do is I fast forward the Daenerys stuff. Actually, let me rephrase it. I fast forward everything that doesn't include most of the characters in it. So anything that's in Essos, I just usually skip. I need the stuff.
Almost every scene is a scene without most of the characters in it.
Yeah, but it's a little different. Like Daenerys and Jorah, you know, that's one area I just skipped that stuff.
You didn't watch that the first time either.
No, the very first time I watched it, but ever since I usually just skip through it.
Let's skip through it.
But I am watching it more now because now at this point, Varys and Tyrion are there now, so it's a little better. But I'm skipping some of the black and white. The one parts I'm not skipping is the scenes where she kills the Kingsguard guy and stuff, and the whole scene where she has to kill the woman or supposedly kill the woman that's in the play.
Well, we don't need to go all over this again. Yeah. We did a separate podcast on it.
But either way, it's still really good rewatching it. So that's what I've been doing. So I haven't really been watching anything else because I mean that's pretty much.
Wait. You mean tell me you haven't been watching The Office?
No. I switched back.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I haven't watched Office since end of December. Actually, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, rehab worked.
That's horrifying.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't have any other information really. So yeah.
Go watch The Good Place.
Not sure what that is.
It's a good show.
It's okay. We've only mentioned it about 3 or 4 times on the podcast. So.
Yeah, actually, I think I kind of remember you do mention it.
The show is over now. Eventually, the 4th season will hit Netflix. 3 seasons of it are on Netflix right now.
Gotcha. Okay. And the show's then gone for good.
The 4th season was its last season, yes.
Right, and where was it filmed on? What station, I mean? Did it originally go?
NBC.
NBC, okay. All right, so that's all I got. Any news anybody want to bring up? Anything?
Kirk Douglas died.
Yeah, 103 years old.
He was old.
Yeah. I mean, his last few years, he had a stroke, so that's why he hadn't seen him much. But, he did pretty good, 103 years. So rest in peace there.
Yeah, it took a long time for Natalie Wood to get her revenge.
Well, that's a rumor about some bad things that he may or may not have done. But again, there's no proof and it's a rumor. But I've already seen a couple of those, too, similar to how people wrote stuff about Kobe Bryant the moment he died, too. So, it's all unsubstantiated, but I don't know. People think what they want, I guess. I mean, whatever. Anything else anybody want to bring up? Anything? All right, I guess that's it. So I guess we can do a little house cleaning and then give our final thoughts. So Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askancity Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can find it wherever you got this one.
Excellent. Very good. Mike, what's happening in March with a new season of The Westworld?
Bulge, Prophets, and Bob will be returning with season 3 of Westworld, middle of March. Actually, well, by the time we record the episode, that'll push it to the end of March and get it released.
Yeah, no, I actually usually get them out within 2 days after we record it, because we usually record it on Sunday, or no, Monday, and then I usually get it out by Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it like March 15th?
Yeah. So the episode would come out probably, we record it on the 16th, and then the episode would come out on the 18th. So yeah, March 18th, I would think. Or 18th or 19th at the latest. So yeah, I guess that's technically the last third of the month, Mike. So yeah, the end of the month. Yeah, there you go. We can go with that. Sounds good. And I think that's it. So we can get into our final thoughts of this film. So let's start with you, Abe. Dark Encounters.
Yeah, so Dark Encounters is not a bad film. It's not exactly an amazing film. It's kind of in middle of the road film. I thought it had a pretty good start with some good character moments, good strong performances overall. Suspenseful first act, but then once it got to second act, it really started to fall apart for me. And I mean, it was trying to do something different, but I don't think it just did all that well. That being said, as I said way in the beginning, you could do worse, but you could do so much better.
All right, very good, Mike.
Final thoughts, it's an okay movie. If you're into this sort of thing, then, you know, wait to find it somewhere. You can rent it cheap, I guess, on Amazon, or wait to catch it free. But if you never see it, I don't think your life will be lacking anything either.
All right, very good. Eric?
Yep, mediocre movie. Catch it on streaming.
All right, very good. For myself, I saw solid acting. Story isn't as what I was expecting. So I've seen better Gray films or alien abduction films. But all in all, you know, solid enough. Nothing to write home about, but solid enough. That's my opinion. So, all right, so that's Dark Encounters. Technically, 2019 did the festival run, released 2020. If you are into alien abduction films, this is at least one in it's the catalog of alien abduction films. And you can pretty much rent it anywhere. It's available pretty much any place VOD is available. At the moment, it's not free on any streaming service, to my knowledge. So I guess with all that stated, Eric, why don't you lead us out?
All right, thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk about Dark Encounter. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.